The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
All right, it's day two of the offseason. Continue to etch lines in the prison cell wall here. And we've got playoff basketball, so that's kind of fun. You know, it's something. It's basketball. You know, could be worse. We could have nothing. It could be like that weird downtime right after free agency's over. Golly, I hate that time. You'll hear it in my voice, by the way, when we get through the thick of free agency. Early July is over. Nobody's signing anymore. We're waiting on summer league. And it's just dead. Baseball takes its all-star break in there, too. So there's, like, very little going on. I think there's some WNBA games happening at that point, if I'm remembering right. It is a light sports slate. But it ain't July yet. It's April 16th right now, offseason day two. We talked a little bit yesterday about what the last day may or may not have meant. A few names to just kind of keep on the back burner as we flip over, start thinking about the future sometimes. But still focusing on the past. Because this time of year is when we have to learn and evolve in either the way we play fantasy sports or, as we're going to talk about on today's show and also probably some other ones, not only how we play fantasy sports, but how we set up fantasy sports so that it remains fun. Look, you guys know me well enough to know that the title of today's show, for those that haven't bothered to look at it and you just guys blindly hit play because you love Fantasy NBA Today, and to those of you that do that, thanks. That actually means a lot to me. By the way, this is Fantasy NBA Today. I just said it. It's a sportsethos.com presentation. I am Dan Bespris, your host. I am extraordinarily grateful to any of you that are actually bothering to hang out with us in the off season. I would mention, by the way, before we get into the nuts and bolts of today's program, not every show in the off season is going to be live video. Not every show in the off season is going to have video at all. So please, if you have a second, head over, subscribe on either iTunes or Spotify or, you know, whatever the easiest way is for you to pull down the old traditional pod RSS feed. That's where you can make sure you can get all of this stuff. All of it will be on those. Many will be on YouTube. And some numbers slightly smaller than that will be live on Twitter. Although we are live on Twitter today. So whatever that means. It's going to change depending on, you know, I have a kid who's on a 2-week spring break coming up. Like, there'll probably be a show where I can't do a live video one. And then the summer break, we're going to have all these, like, baseball things mixed in because my kid loves baseball a ton. I do too, by the way. So all of that to say, make sure to subscribe on a regular channel. That way you guys don't miss anything. So what I was talking about before is you guys know me well enough. If you've been watching this show for longer than, like, a week, you know I prefer Roto over head-to-head. If I could, I would do a podcast that exclusively focuses on Roto. I can't because it's like 15% of you guys out there that are playing Roto and like 85% are playing head-to-head. So it's actually really important that we cover all of the above. But I do believe that Roto solves the problems with head-to-head. It creates new problems for those of you that appreciate the sort of ability to rewind, reset every week and be hyper, hyper invested on a moment-to-moment basis. That's the head-to-head way. You're playing against your friends. You trade off who you're playing against every week. You like, for some reason, the wacky randomness of it. And there's no way you'd ever move to Roto. Okay. Please try it. Can I just start with that? Please, just in addition to whatever else you're doing next year, just do a free Roto league, just to feel it out. So that's the easy answer to the question of how you fix head-to-head. The way you fix head-to-head is you play Roto. What is it that makes Roto so much less susceptible to the issues that plague head-to-head leagues? Well, you have to start by isolating what those issues are. The biggest ones, I think, in most people's minds are, one, being sort of at the whim of a big box site, whatever it is, ESPN, Yahoo, Fantrax, ESPN and Yahoo being the really big ones, and when you can put a guy on an injured list slot. Or you can call that a medium one if you want. You could also call that positional eligibility, basically just sort of being at the whim of the site you're playing on. Yeah, that's annoying. Another big one would be silly season. Silly season is out of control. And a third one probably comes down a little bit to this same, it kind of ties into both of them, but it's the concept of missed games. These are the huge issues with head-to-head. Each one is complicated in its own way. Being at the whim of Yahoo's, you know, positional situation, injured list situation. There are ways to kind of work around that. We'll get to that one eventually. I think that's sort of lower on the priority totem pole. Injury issues, number three in our list. That's a really big one. And number two, silly season is a really big one. Today, I want to talk about number three. We'll come back to number two on a future episode. Also, I think the solution number two is simpler, even if it's kind of a pain in the butt or a little bit annoying and maybe a little bit depressing to have to do it. Number three, injuries are everything for head-to-head leagues for so many different reasons, too. It's not just that in a head-to-head league, if a good player gets hurt, you just, obviously, you lose the games that that good player is playing. It's that it's compounded by the fact that in the vast majority of head-to-head leagues, daily or weekly, you take zeros where an opponent does not. So you say, Dan, why do you keep telling people to take Roto? Well, in Roto, most Roto leagues, I should say, solve that issue by having a games cap. The default setting, most of what I'm going to talk about on this show is going to be the Yahoo Public League default setting. Yahoo Public League default setting in a Roto League is an 82 games cap, which for those that are not familiar means that you have 10 starting positions, point guard, shooting guard, guard, small forward, power forward, forward, two centers, two utility slots, 10 starting slots. At each one of those 10 blocks on your board, you can use 82 games however you see fit. You don't get to play somebody in that slot every single day. So how does that fix it? Just to get down to the real studs of this thing. That fixes the injury problem to the greatest degree you can. Obviously, if you have a key player that plays 25 games in a year, that's going to break you no matter what format you're in. And it should, frankly. LaMelo Ball is a great example of that this year. LaMelo played, what, like 22 games this season? Some ungodly low number? Horrifically low? 22. Yeah, I got that right. Missed 60 games. If you took LaMelo Ball with your late first round pick, doesn't matter what format you're in, your team's going to suck because you got nothing out of your first rounder. If you get nothing out of your first rounder, you have almost no shot to compete in a fantasy league unless you make perfect selections in the second, third, fourth, and probably fifth round, because the first rounders carry your team. Much as we hate to admit it, that's the way it works. Those guys have so much more value on a slot-to-slot basis than anybody else in the league. It's quite significant. Let's just put it that way. We don't want to get too deep into the numbers here. Even if your first rounder is only pretty good, but actually plays the whole season. Example of that this year would be Jason Tatum. Probably a good example of that. Drafted, 6, 7, 8 range. He was number 15 per game this year, which is like, fine. It's an early second rounder, early to mid second rounder. Played in 74 out of 82 ball games. That'll get it done. By totals, it pushes him up to number 11. You can handle that. It could even be worse. You could have a first rounder. Where was Steph? Steph finished at 22 per game. He played 74 ball games. Team still got a perfectly reasonable shot. But if you get nothing out of your first rounder, which is what happened with LaMelo Ball this year, team's just screwed, no matter what the format is. But what about a situation like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who had an absolutely tremendous, monster, MVP-level season. Whether or not he wins it, doesn't matter really at this point. He was up there in the top guys. And on top of that, he played in 75 of 82 ball games this year. But, he missed 6 of his 7 ball games during a lot of fantasy playoffs on the head-to-head side. March 27th, 29th, April 2nd, 3rd, 5th, and 7th, if your league went that late. Which, again, talking about Yahoo default leagues, that's in the Yahoo playoffs. Don't worry, we'll have plenty of shows to talk about when you should actually end your leagues. But for those of you out there who don't feel like organizing a 12-team private league and maybe getting stuck being commissioner, these site public prize leagues are your path to getting to play for money. I don't want to ice you guys out just because it's not the best way to do it. It's an easier way to do it. I'm in some Yahoo public leagues. Every time I run a roto league or every time I open one up, someone's like, Dan, you should just end up running this thing because like you know what you're doing the most. I don't want to run it every time. So yeah, I joined some public roto leagues. In roto, Shai missing 6 games down the stretch was a little bit annoying. But he was still the number 2 player in fantasy by a pretty good jump, by the way, over the number 3 guy, who was Anthony Davis this year. Just behind Nikola Jokic, who somehow, again, was this unbelievable pillar of durability playing in 79 ball games. But if you were in a Yahoo public prize head-to-head league, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander missing 6 games, 7 total, playing in over 90%. Of his team's basketball games this year. His little tweak injury, his knee tweak, probably ruined your whole season. Does that feel fair? In my eyes, it doesn't. So Roto covers that up by the fact that, when you drafted Shai, you probably assumed he was going to play in 70-some-odd games. That was the target. You never thought he was going to play in all 82. So you just, whenever you get your 70-some-odd games, it doesn't really matter. It's nice if he plays down the stretch because you want your big guns going when you're making a run at late roto points, but I mean, it's possible that the stuff he's good at wasn't the stuff you needed all that much anyway. That's a dumb thing to say. Just throw that out. Just assume you really wanted him in your lineup. But it didn't break you. If you were in second place in your roto league, when Shai went down for a week and a half, you were probably still in second place when he came back. Maybe third. And it's hard to say how much of it was really tied into him missing a couple of games at that point. But it didn't really impact the outcome of your season. Does it make sense? Does it make sense in your mind? Just let's set it up like this. Try to separate the thoughts on this from everything else that you do in fantasy sports. Does this following sentence make sense to you? My best player played in over 90% of his games this year, and he cost me my league. That doesn't make any sense. Should a guy playing in over 90% of his games in a season be potentially cost you a league ever? No. The answer to that question, just with simple logic, is no.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Visit Angie.com. You can do this when you Angie that.
And this is one argument that I've seen thrown back at me. Well, Dan, it's like the real playoffs. If the team's best player goes down, they lose. That sentence by itself is true. If the Kings didn't have De'Aaron Fox for their play-in game, they probably lose. If the Nuggets lose Jokic, they probably lose their next playoff series. If a team loses its best player, they probably lose whatever time span he's out. Okay, I will grant you that. But what I won't grant you is why a player misses a game in real life in, say, an actual playoff battle versus near the end of a regular season slash the fantasy playoffs. This loops back into silly season discussion to a certain degree, and again, we're going to have our own show on that one, but this thought touches it more than tangentially. If the Thunder weren't comfortably in the top three, now ultimately they did end up with the one seed, even with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander missing a few games down the stretch. So, you know, from that standpoint, it didn't really cost them anything. They tied with the Nuggets, but they had the tiebreaker somehow. I don't remember exactly how that all shook out. Yes, obviously the Nuggets would prefer to have home court throughout the playoffs, but it wasn't going to be at the risk of overplaying the guy that can actually win them a playoff series. So Shai missed a couple of ball games. Do you guys think, and there's no way for us to know the answer to this question really, but if those games were playoff games for the Thunder, how many games do you think Shai actually misses over that 2-week span? Six? Or like two? Or three? Forget that, because that sentence you have to just guess. Can we all agree that NBA players play through far more in the playoffs than they're willing to play through during the regular season? I think that's an inarguable point. Guys are going to take a game off for a sore knee in the regular season. If a doctor's like, it's probably not going to cost you anything long term. In the regular season, they'll be like, I need a day off. I'll go in the other 81. In the playoffs, they're like, I'm going to have to play through it. I hope it gets better because, you know, we've got one day off between every game. And sometimes we have 2 days off. There are no back-to-backs. I'll do my best, Doc. And that, to me, is the counter, the appropriate counter to when someone's like, hey, you know what? If you lose your best player in your playoffs in fantasy, you should lose. Yeah, but they're not treating those games like playoff games. In January, you and your fantasy team care about the game about as much as the player does. You want your player to be good. Player wants to be good. Player wants to win the ball game. On April 4th, you probably care way more about the result of that game than like half of your fantasy players do. Teams that are tanking, you care way more about how that game goes than they do. Teams that are locked into a playoff seed the final week and a half, you care far more about what they're going to do in that ball game than they do. This is an old betting adage. You should never care more about the result of a game than the players in it. And that's how Roto gets at the root of that problem. An injury is still a little bit annoying. You don't want your key guys to miss ball games, but it doesn't matter when it happens. And in my eyes, it shouldn't really matter when it happens because we have this disconnect between when the fantasy playoffs happen, which is the most important time of the year for a fantasy head-to-head league, and the real dates that those games are occurring, which is for about a third of the NBA, extremely important for playoff seeding, and for like a half to two-thirds, the least relevant games of the year for them. It doesn't make any sense. And there's no way to reconcile that because the end of the season is always going to be that way. Some teams are going to be eliminated. Some teams are going to be locked into playoff seeds. And a few teams, and this year more teams than usual, still had some kind of seeding to play for, but a lot of them were just like, what's the difference between 4, 5, and 6? We'd rather be healthy. But more teams this year at least. And the play-ins helped that a little bit. But there's no way to fix it all completely. At the end of the regular season, the final 3 to 5 weeks, the players typically care less on average, because a bunch of teams stop caring, about those games than they do earlier in the year. Every single team cares about opening night. They want to win it. Not every team cares about the last game of the year. So it sucks that your head-to-head league ends up getting decided by some weeks where the players don't actually care about what's going on, or, you know, don't care as much, I should say, just to sort of cover my ass on that one. And Roto fixes that. But is it Roto that fixes that, or is it the games cap that fixes that? Well, it's a little bit of both. The games cap is a big part of it, unquestionably. And I am very much pro the idea of instituting a games cap in your head-to-head league. Still, though, you could maybe solve that by turning it into a weekly format, which is kind of like the same thing, where you're like, all right, do I play this crummier player who has 4 games, or do I play my better player who has 3, kind of thing. You're making these game total decisions. But, of course, in a weekly league, if a guy gets hurt on Tuesday, you're screwed, because you can't sub them out, and you end up getting dinged with the lower games limit anyway. So this now, throughout the regular season at least, solves a lot of that head-to-head issue, the games cap. Think about December or something like that. December feels like a good month. January is a good month for this example as well. In January, players are going to play through some stuff and not through others. They're going to treat the game like a regular old regular season game. They would love to win it. They don't know where their team's seeding is. They're not going to take the game off unless they really, really badly need rest or they're actually a little bit dinged up. And that's good because it connects. It jibes with what you expect from your fantasy team, which is if your guys are healthy, they're going to go. Again, not a thing that you can expect down the stretch. So January is a good time of year to sort of test this theory out. If you lose your number one player, it's still going to suck, and it should. But because of a games cap, and say it's 3.5, 4 games or something like that per starting slot, call it 40 is your games cap, you at least now can still reach that 40 just with slightly worse players on average. The deeper the league, the deeper the guy you end up having to sub in. So instead of saying you're first rounder, because obviously there's no replacing in the example we gave so far with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but whatever, any first rounder, say it's like a third rounder that goes down, who ended up with per game value in the third round that was kind of drafted in there. Like Domantas Sabonis was drafted near 20, he finished near 30. He played in all 82 games, so it's a terrible example because he didn't actually miss any time. What about Jamal Murray? He played in 59 out of 82 games. So yes, he obviously missed some time there, and that should hurt you in whatever league format you're in, but it shouldn't completely sink you. Like, basically right now, if you have 2 guys hurt, or let's make it a little bit more clear. If you have, like, a guy hurt that you can't put in an IL slot, you're kind of almost definitely going to lose your head-to-head weekly battle. Like, if you have a 4-game disadvantage or more, you're probably going to lose 80% of the time or more. Yes, I know. Some of you are like, Dan, I had a game's disadvantage and I still won. Yeah, it happens. If you win the percentages and defensive stats and stuff like that, there are paths to do it with a 4-game disadvantage. What if you have 2 guys hurt and you can't put an IL? And you're down 6, 7, 8 games to your opponent. You got no shot. But, and with a slight expansion of the bench or an easing of the IL rules to sort of throw it on top of this, if you are able to cover up, to make up those missed games, so let's say you can still get to 40 games played with the other guys on your roster, you're going to be at a disadvantage because you have some good players that are hurt and you're subbing in their backups or something like that. So, you know, you don't want to have to play Reggie Jackson to fill in for Jamal Murray, but in this case, that's the backup. It doesn't even have to be him. It could just be sort of like your 11th best player on the roster, or matchups, things like that. I think there's a lot of strategy to it. As opposed to right now in head-to-head leagues, the strategy is get as many games as you can without giving up a player that has season-long value. That's the strategy in head-to-head right now after draft night. How can I get a 5 or 6 game advantage over my opponent? I'm going to throw turnovers because by having a 5 or 6 game advantage, there's almost no way I win him. It's why everybody punts turnovers right now. If you throw in, and I pray, I would love it if someday Yahoo Public Leagues put this in. I don't make it 11. I don't care. Make it a 44 game week. Who the hell do I care? Pick a number, stick with it. 10 is just easy and round. It solves so many of the regular season problems for head-to-head leagues, but it doesn't yet quite solve the issues for the playoffs. Because in your head-to-head playoffs in a Yahoo Public League that goes until the second to last week of the regular season, and we saw it this year, the last 2 weeks were hell. The last 3 weeks were incredibly stupid. And the last 4 weeks is when it started. So your whole playoffs is during a silly season where you still might not get to 40 games played without doing some streaming. But at least you could then do some streaming. And in this case, you're not streaming to just try not to be completely decimated. You're streaming to get to the 40 game limit and give yourself a shot.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Yes, it probably means not everybody's going to be using all four of their weekly damn moves every week during the regular season because streaming will be marginalized probably until the playoffs when everybody gets hurt and then you'll have to do a little bit of streaming. But it's going to come down to strategy. What category should I attack with 10 or 11 of my 13 or 14 players or whatever, you know, however many roster slots you'd like to consider? If my guy is a game-time decision and gets ruled out 2 or 3 games in a row, I don't have to drop them. If you love the idea of good players being dropped constantly, then maybe this is not for you. But if you love the idea of more strategy, more fairness in who wins on a week-to-week basis, and frankly, for the entire season, the big fix for head-to-head injury is a head-to-head games cap. Josh did a really nice job this year of demoing that, and by all accounts, it went really well. And I would have been in it, but the draft happened during my kids' Little League practice. It sounded awesome. The problem, of course, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, is that, again, not all of us, me, yes, obviously it's me, for me, I can put a tweet out and I can fill a league in 8 seconds, but for many of you guys out there, that, I don't know, do you have 11 friends that all play fantasy basketball? Not all of you do. That's fine. In real life Dan has like 3 friends who play fantasy basketball in my actual existence or talk about fantasy basketball. I have some other friends that watch basketball, but yeah, I got to go out to people I've never met. All of you wonderful folks who I appreciate with the deepest, deepest, warmest parts of my heart, but I don't know you. We know, we sort of like, we interact, we're friendly, but I don't know who you are. I love you and I don't know you. It's a weird spot to be in. But you guys probably have lives like that too. Yeah, you got 3 great friends who all want to do a fantasy league with you. You need 8 more. So you come on the internet and you say, Dan, can you amplify this message and help me fill a league? Or the easier path, just join a Yahoo Public League. But then you're stuck with the rules they give you. And until they put a games cap in, there isn't really an obvious fix for Yahoo Public head-to-head. So if that's the path you're stuck on, I give you two options. Option one, join a Roto League. Option two, join an Ethos League. Because we can set them up. Andre does an amazing job of setting up these leagues. We end them a little bit earlier. We can set the rules, whether they're games cap or not, to take care of some of that imbalance. And over time, if we decide we want to fix some stuff up, if we want to put a games cap in, if we want to do something else, we can do it. We got those leagues ready for you. So come join us or try Roto. And that's phase one of the head-to-head, I don't know, rebuild? Silly season, we're coming for you next. Let's talk a little bit about the games happening tonight. Play-in stuff begins this evening, which is kind of fun. I totally forgot to share the schedule grid. That was going to be part of this discussion, and now looking at it, I realize you guys wouldn't be able to see it anyway. So the hell with that. Tonight on NBA on TNT, the Lakers take on the Pelicans at 4:30 Pacific time. Pelicans are favored by 1.5 in that ballgame. And the Sacramento Kings take on the Warriors, who are favored by 2 on the road. An intriguing number. The fact that the Pelicans are favored by 1.5 is interesting, but not all that surprising. This is basically oddsmakers saying, hey, neutral site Lakers are like a 3-point favorite. Play-in, whatever, is worth about 4.5 points. And do we feel the Lakers are about, 2 to 3 points better than the Pelicans on a neutral site? Yeah, I think we do. It's very hard, also, by the way, for the Lakers to win back-to-back games over the same team. They beat the Pelicans handily to finish the regular season, so, New Orleans is going to come back and they're going to be irritated about that. We also have no idea how healthy Anthony Davis is. He says he's going to play through his hip and back spasms and issues, but is he going to be 100%? I'd be very surprised if he moved fluidly throughout the entirety of tonight's ball game. And for that reason, even though I think the Lakers probably win this game, you couldn't possibly convince me to bet on the side. The total is 224.5. And that also, in my opinion, sits heavily on the health of Anthony Davis. If he, and I don't know if any of us can get out there and see what he looks like during warmups. If AD looks terrible during warmups, the Pelicans are going to score a lot of points. It's going to be a playoff-style game, so you kind of want that, you'd lean to the under because everybody's going to be really valuing the basketball. There's not going to be a lot of careless stuff. Teams are going to be trying to operate in the half court. It's going to be that same kind of thing where everybody's just going to drag it out. But if there's no AD, the Lakers haven't stopped anybody all year. So I'd love to bet the under, but an unhealthy Anthony Davis makes me extremely nervous about that. For the second game on the docket, Warriors by 2 with a total of 222.5. The Kings really kind of diarrhea-ing their way into the play-in. They were way up. Seems like just a few wins down the stretch, and they could have had themselves a spot outside of the play-in tournament altogether, and they were absolutely terrible the last couple weeks this year. Kings are 4-6 their last 10 ball games, including some kind of ugly losses. Fell all the way back to just 10 games over 500, somehow falling behind the Lakers. I don't no idea how that happened. A team that they, by the way, beat 4 times straight up this year. But the Kings do struggle with the Warriors. Some of that is because the Warriors have a pretty good foil for Domantas Sabonis. He can't push Draymond Green around the way that he can a lot of other centers in the NBA because most centers nowadays are kind of longer and stretch five-year, and Sabonis can just walk them right to the rim and dominate them, rebounding in particular, overcoming what becomes somewhat, we've seen Sabonis not the best on defense. We'll just sort of leave it at that. Kings are also down Malik Monk, which I thought hurt them a ton down the stretch, more than losing Kevin Huerter, losing Monk, and all of that second unit firepower meant that everything fell on De'Aaron Fox down the stretch, who we've also seen fatigue repeatedly. This is like year after year after year, it's the same story, as the season goes on. Fox had a good season. Make no mistake. He ended up at number 24, but asking him to take 21 shots a ball game was just too much all year long. He faded. His field goal percent dropped to 46.5. That was up over 50 at the beginning of the year, and even coming out of the All-Star break, he was shooting well. His steals were amazing. He actually led the league in steals with 2 per ball game, basically in a dead heat with Shea, but De'Aaron was slightly in front. Is De'Aaron Fox going to be able to do everything himself in this ballgame? Because he might need to. So that makes it really hard for me to bet the Kings. The Warriors just seem to have the right formula, and they're playing really well, Golden State down the stretch, other than a loss to New Orleans, which was kind of a maybe not the best matchup for the Dubs, but this one is a better one for them. And, you know, if the Kings don't go nuclear from downtown, it feels like the Warriors are probably going to win this ball game. Also, the game is, I think, going to be played slower than people realize. So I would lean to the under and slightly to the Warriors in the next one, probably feeling a little better about the under, just because, again, these are the types of games that they almost play out like a game 7, and teams are just a little bit nervous to open it up. Teams are going to dare you to shoot from outside. And who do we think has the advantage there of all these teams? Probably the Warriors, you know, having the best shooter of all time on their team. We'll talk more betting as we get into the actual series because you get those sort of adjustment games. These play-ins are a little bit tougher because it's just going to be that. I mean, I think about the Lakers-Wolves game where no one could hit a shot and it was just slow and everybody was beyond exhausted by like the middle of the third quarter because they're actually trying on defense and the teams don't remember what that feels like. They try on defense for 3 quarters, and then they just have nothing in the tank. Like, you'll see it with LeBron. Watch LeBron tonight. This will be the third game he's tried on defense probably the whole season. He's going to be tired late because of it, but it's going to change the way the Lakers look. And then you'll see the same thing in the other for the other teams also. Because nobody plays defense during the regular season other than, like, 3 teams. 3 teams that overachieve in the regular season, and then everybody else starts playing defense in the playoffs, and there's this sort of rude awakening moment. I have no idea why so many of you are watching this show live on social media, but I am extremely appreciative of it. I was wondering, I saw a bunch of messages in the chat room, and it's just one awesome dude that's spamming the chat. Love you, buddy. Thank you for watching all the time. A lot of folks over on Twitter. Again, I'll say it now. I said it at the beginning of the show. Come subscribe on a traditional pod channel like iTunes or Spotify or something like that, because again, we're not going to have all of our shows live on social media. We're not going to have all of our shows live on YouTube. We're not going to have video components for every show in the off season. So I need you guys to come over and hang out with us on the traditional side. As we ramp up towards next season, we'll probably move everything back again to the video side. But for now, just want to make sure you guys know, if you're wondering, like, if there's a show that you don't see pop up on the video platforms, it doesn't mean there's not a show. It just means that it's over on one of the regular channels. Cheers, everyone. I'm Dan Vespers for Fantasy NBA Today, a SportsEthos.com presentation. We'll talk to you guys again tomorrow, just like today. Later for now.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.